Josh has been teaching the last couple of weeks, did a great job teaching along the lines of the parable of the sower. So we're going to continue on. Rather than doing a lot of review, I'm going to just pick up and just say, why do we get sick? You know, people want to know so often why we get sick. What is it that causes sickness? Considering the fact that someone paid this wonderful price for us to be well, for us to walk in divine health, then why do we get sick? Well, we have a legal right to be healed, but, you know, as I said, though, even though there's laws on our natural books today, there's still people that'll break the law. And so we have an enemy that's always looking to break the law. So often it's just crimes of opportunity, that he wants to commit. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, how can the devil do that? We just don't understand how he can do that. Well, he'll take advantage of whatever he can. So, one of the things that we looked at back a couple weeks ago is that sin has had a profound effect, an impact on creation. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says that when sin came in the world, death came as a result of sin. And that was the beginning of spiritual death. Sin was the beginning of spiritual death, and sickness is the very first steps of physical death. So, and then over a period of time, we see from the beginning, we see the genetic code has been weakened in people. You know, it's really interesting. I just was listening to an audio book the other, this last week, and they were talking about with the scientists today called epigenetics. And it's really interesting because epigenetics, what it says is that, you know, a person may have a particular disease or a condition in their family that's in their genes, and it travels from parent to child to parent to child, and it just continues on. And so oftentimes people just think, well, they're destined to have that disease because it's in their genes. But the study of epigenetics, what it's proven is that's not the case at all, that these genes have switches on them, and that it's us that flip those switches on. So you don't, even though there's a disease in your family, you're not destined to get that disease. You don't have to have that disease or that condition. And they said that what the switches are environmental, meaning stress, diet, things like that all contribute to getting those switches flipped on. And so they said actually what it's like having a gun with all the chambers loaded, and somebody's got to pull the trigger before the gun goes off. That's what this is like. So you may have a condition in your family. You may think, well, you know, everybody in my family dies from high blood pressure, or everybody in my family has high cholesterol. It just runs in the family. You hear people say that all the time. It runs in the family. They're talking about a genetic issue. Yeah, the genes may be there, but it's up to you whether those switches ever get turned on or not. So that's really good news that we have control over that. And there's many things we can do to make sure that they never get flipped on. Amen. But see, that's the kind of thing we're talking about, opportunities, that the devil's looking for these opportunities. So how can we close the door, you know, to secure physical health against sickness? Well, again, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that God wants to separate us, sanctify us, spirit, soul, and body. So healing isn't just a spiritual thing. So often people want to just approach it from the spiritual aspect, but it's a whole person issue. It's spirit, it's soul, and it's body. The state of our mind, our will, our intellect, our emotional health has a lot to do with our physical health. Yes, Jesus paid the price. He took care of that part. He purchased it legally for us. But we are a whole person, and so it's not just the spirit. It's not just the soul. It's also things we actually do with the physical body that can affect our physical healing. So there's the whole picture involved there. It's a whole body or a whole person issue, healing is. And so sometimes people just approach it from a spiritual issue. We'll have people come and want us to pray for them. And sometimes the prayer is needed for something that they've damaged their body in some way. You know, they've maybe through just lack of care for their bodies, they've damaged their body in some way, and they haven't changed the lifestyle that caused the damage. And so they want you to pray. Well, God is so merciful. Of course he's going to do whatever he can to help us. But the thing is that it's a whole person issue. There's some things we have to change sometimes in order to not cause that problem to continue to recur again. So it's a whole person issue, and I think that's what we need to keep in our mind, that this is not just about Jesus dying for our sins and us getting prayer for healing. it's also other issues as well. We looked at 1 Peter 5:8, where it talks about the enemy roaming about, looking for people to devour. What's that telling us? He's just looking for opportunities. You know, and he is. He's looking for opportunities for in every one of our lives, because he wants to vandalize God's creation. He wants to take us out. He wants to keep us from fulfilling the calls that are on our lives. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 alludes to the same thing, that we can give place to the devil. We can open doors up, let doors unlocked, open doors, give him a place to operate in our lives. And so that's why we want to be good students of the Word of God. We want God's light to be shed abroad in our hearts, to expose wrong attitudes, emotional things that might be out of whack, maybe things that we're doing physically with our diet or whatever. All of those types of things are all part of this environmental picture, all of them. So there are some potential opportunities we might be ignorant of, you know. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I would say that was true. That's true spiritually, physically, soulishly, that oftentimes there's things that are going on. Maybe we were raised in a household where everybody yelled all the time. You know, that causes a very stressful. Have you ever noticed when you go into a household where there's been harsh words and you can just feel in the atmosphere something's not right? You can just feel it. Those words are powerful. That creates an environment of stress. Well, we all know studies have shown over recent years the effect of stress on the human body, let alone just the human soul. So we looked at the issues of personal sin. We looked at some things about staying away from bitterness, getting unforgiveness out of our lives, dealing with strife and bickering and complaining. And the book of James really covers a lot of those things. And then at the very end of discussing some of these interpersonal issues they were going through, he says, is any sick among you? So he ties sickness in to the way people interact with each other. He says, look, if you've got strife between you or bitterness, sometimes husbands and wives, the way they talk to each other is atrocious. And then they wonder, why is there sickness in our house all the time? You know, it says where envying and strife is, it says there is confusion in every evil work. So, you know, Jesus says he considered sickness an evil thing. So sickness sometimes gets into our homes just because we allow strife and contention in. You know, I don't care. Sometimes people think they can just let it all hang out with their family. Just, you know, we can just be ourselves at home and we can just talk however we want to each other. Man, if you can't, we used to tell our kids this, if you can't be nice to your sibling, if you can't love your sibling, you're a hypocrite to go outside of this house and be nice and kind to other people. It starts at home, amen. So dealing with envy and strife, and a lot of times just cleaning that stuff out of our house and being kind to one another and forgiving, speaking words of compassion and encouragement, oftentimes that'll deal with healing right there. Of course, we know the whole passage on communion talks about the way we treat others in the body of Christ could be the cause of people getting sick and dying young. So these are really serious issues. We can't just act however we want. Again, healing is it's a systemic thing. It's all kinds of things wrapped into one huge big package. It's not just this or just that. And so often we want to make it just about, this is just the devil attacking me. Well, the devil's taking opportunity. But you know what we did? We handed him the loaded gun by some of our behavior. So we need to deal with these things. So emotional issues are a key factor in when it comes to why people get sick. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Now, that's not just talking theoretically. That's talking about a physical thing here. Your attitudes affect your health. Your mental attitudes affect your health. You know, people that are down all the time and sad and gloomy are usually not very healthy people. So he's telling us a merry heart or a happy heart is good medicine. Psalm 31:10 says, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and even my bones have wasted away. So over Just being down all the time and grieving, and overextension of grief can cause terrible things in the human body. Yes, there's a normal side to grief that lasts for a period of time, but then if it goes on, if it continues to go on, that can cause damage to us physically. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 30 says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." You know how many diseases start in the bones? Because the bones is what produces our blood, and a lot of our immune system comes from that. So, these things all affect us. We don't want to think losing our temper is going to affect our health, or getting angry or being jealous or holding a grudge against somebody is going to affect our health. But it will. It will affect our health. So there are a lot of scriptures that reference the connection between our emotional state and health, and grief and sorrow and discouragement and despair, and all of those things have a detrimental effect on our physical health. When my dad died many years ago, you go through a normal amount of grieving, and I remember after a couple weeks, I felt physically sick. I just ached all over, and I just didn't feel good. Thought, oh, I'm getting sick. Something's not right. And so I went to the doctor. Well, there was nothing wrong with me physically. There was really nothing wrong with me, but that grief was causing me to feel like I was sick. And the doctor said, this is very normal when you're going through a grief period. So it can have that kind of impact on us. We have to recognize that our heart is the starting place for good health. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 tells us to keep and guard our hearts with all vigilance, because out of our hearts flow the issues of life. So we have to keep our heart. You have to protect your heart. You have to protect your heart from emotional things. You have to protect your heart from anger and jealousy and unforgiveness. And why? Because your heart is the factory for health. And if you're not guarding and protecting your heart from being offended or getting upset, or sometimes just being critical of somebody has a different opinion than you do. And we get critical over that. We think, well, I don't agree with that. Well, so what? The world is made up of lots of different people with lots of different ideas. Of course, we know when it comes to biblical principles, there's one way. But there's a whole lot of things that are just an issue of personal preference. It's not like black and white. And we can become critical of other people over those types of things. That can affect our physical health. Why? Because it affects our hearts. So above everything else, we've talked so much about the whole issue of closing the doors, like locking the doors and keeping the enemy out. Well, how much money? We have a security system at our house. It's not a real high-tech one, but it covers the bases. And, people can spend lots and lots of money on their security systems for their homes, but yet we don't guard our hearts. And yet life flows from our heart. So we need to see that if there's going to be a security system anywhere, it should be over our heart. We should be guarding our heart against emotional outbursts, against taking offense, about harboring grudges, getting into unforgiveness towards people. That stuff will kill you. It will kill you. Maybe not overnight, but it will eventually. It'll take its toll on you. It'll take its toll on your health. So it's really important that we take heed to this. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire is fulfilled, it's a tree of life." So people with just unrelenting disappointments in their life, a lot of times those people end up sick because they're just disappointed all the time over things. And there's just a sense of hopelessness that can contribute to poor health. And then what about fear? Some people don't recognize how dangerous fear is. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, now this is a little different application, but it tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it tells us that Jesus came. He had the power over death, and he came to deliver those who through the fear of death were subject to a lifelong slavery. Fear of any kind subjects us to bondage, to slavery. There's people who they're afraid to eat in restaurants. There's people who are afraid to get on elevators. I looked at the list yesterday. There's over 530 documented phobias. You name it. It's just amazing. The fears of, I'd never heard of most of them. There's people that have a fear of heaven. Now, you would think there's people with fear of hell, of course, but you know that there's actually a name for the fear of heaven? Like, I'm afraid to go to heaven. Like, well, I don't think you're going to go if you're afraid to go. But there's over 530 fears or phobias that are on the books, and I'm sure it's growing all the time. So fear is a dangerous thing. Fear has terrible effects on people's lives. So what's the antidote to some of these things, especially these emotional things? Well, Psalm 112. Psalm 112 says, in verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Verse 7 says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies." So the antidote to a lot of these emotional issues is loving the Lord's commandments and getting our hearts established in the Word. You know, anybody who's been a Christian for a while, when you lose your temper or you get upset or you're tempted to get offended at someone, something rises up on the inside of you and warns you, doesn't it? We all know that. Oh, you don't get offended. It's almost like your mother's finger in your face. Don't get offended. You know, that's exactly what the word that you stored in your heart will do. And so we need to have our hearts established because that's going to keep us from entering into things that may have a physical impact on us. So God's word has to become our delight for us to walk in good health. Now, this next part, this is one of those issues that is almost as difficult to address as money is with Christians, because there's two areas that I see in the life of every believer that people, it has more potential for people to get offended over, and it's their money and their bodies. When I say body, I'm talking about diet. We can give the devil opportunity in non-emotional and non-spiritual ways as well. We can give the devil an opportunity through natural things that we're doing. And so I think the reason that this particular area can be so offensive for people or so difficult for people to openly embrace is because when it comes to money and when it comes to their physical health or their physical bodies is because I think the majority of the body of Christ does not have a mature, sanctified belief system and stewardship. We do not understand that everything in our life belongs to God, including our body. It's not ours. How many of you have heard of that newest book that Jonathan Kahn wrote called The Shemitah, The Mystery of the Shemitah? And I'm not going to tell you about the book, but it's very interesting because it's about what happened to Israel as a result of not observing the year of the Sabbath, the year, not the day of Sabbath, but the year of the Sabbath. And it really, what it comes down to is the fact that man has never really acknowledged God as the owner of all of it, and that God has the right to tell us what to do. And you know, when you say, "Yes, you're my Lord," what does that mean? Tell me what to do. And so many people are lacking, they just don't have a well-developed belief system when it comes to stewardship. You know, when it comes to money, it's mine. My body, it's mine. And, you know, now due to the advent of certain financial ministries over the last 20 years or so, we've seen people sort of coming around a little bit about the financial side of things and doing what God says to do with their finances, and learning how to budget and learning how to invest and just wise handling of the resources God's entrusted to them. But do you know, poor stewardship of our physical bodies also provides the enemy with an opportunity. And so this is just a really touchy thing for some people. They don't want to hear this kind of stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust." We all are familiar with the parable of the talents, where certain things were entrusted to a steward, certain gifts and certain amounts of possession were entrusted, and God expected them not just to maintain it, but to bring increase to it. And then in Matthew chapter 25, it says, "The kingdom of God is like a man who is about to take a long journey. He called his servants together and entrusted them with his property." So we need to get a well-developed sense of I'm just everything I can see with my eyes under my roof in my, you know, my life, anything pertaining to me, it's just a stewardship issue. My body is, I'm just a steward over this body. I'm just a steward over the money that I earn. Well, people go, well, I earned it. Yeah, but who gave you the breath? Who gave you the life and the strength to earn that? Who did? Who? See, God is the owner of all. So we're not owners. We're stewards. We're caretakers. And our lives here are just temporary assignments. That's all they are, preparing us for eternity. And, you know, God is watching how we steward our time, our money, our talents, our opportunities, and yes, our body. He's watching. What are we doing with it? Because we are going to stand and give an account for everything that he's entrusted to us. And I believe, and I think Pastor's alluded to this many times when he's been teaching, that how we steward earthly things will determine what we'll be entrusted with for eternity. So you may not think your body's important. I think the thing is I think that the thinking of the Greeks, the Hellenists, I think the thinking of the Gnostics, I think that's crept into the church where, you know, your spirit is really important and your soul is really important, but your body is no big deal. No big deal. No big deal. I think that thinking has crept right along through the ages, and I think it's affected the church as much today as it did during that time. And I love it. I read a really good book by Rick Warren. If you want to read a really, really good book on just learning how to take care of yourself better, it's called The Daniel Plan. And his church back in 2009 went on this together. Pastor Warren was about 90 pounds overweight at that time. And he was doing a church baptism. And he said after, I forget how many hundred thousand pounds he thought he lifted that day. But after finishing that day, he realized something's not right here in the body of Christ. Why are we so overweight? Why are we so unhealthy? And so he just set out to, you know, he sought the wisdom of some doctors. And so he just stood up in front of his congregation one day and he repented. He said, I'm so sorry. I've not been a good steward over my body. And so he presented this plan. Well, that's a big church. He had 12,000 of his church members come on board with him, and they collectively, in the first year, lost 250,000 pounds. Yeah. And so it's a great thing. If you want to read a really good balanced book, read it, The Daniel Plan. But anyway, one of the things he says, we are living in the 1.0 version of our bodies right now, but we're going to get the 2.0 version in heaven. So it's this body here that God's going to resurrect. So he expects us to take care of this body. When it comes to healing, this is a big part of it. What opportunities are we giving to the enemy regarding our physical bodies? And that's where, you know, again, not a great favorite topic for people, but what are you putting in there? You know, so a lot of people take better care of their cars than they do their body. They wouldn't put the best gas in their car. They'll put the highest grade motor oil in their car. They'll take it for checkups. They, you know, they wouldn't think of abusing their car. But you know what? We don't treat our bodies that same way. So there isn't a lot of scripture about diet. But you know why? I think God just expects us to use common sense. Common sense. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he says, Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and that you are not your own? So he's trying to establish some things here. The Amplified says, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. The Message. Didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. That's really good. I mean, he said our body's a sacred place. It's a sacred place. Have you ever seen on the news where somebody vandalized a church? What's the first thing that just, don't you just get outraged when you see things like that? How could somebody ever think of vandalizing a church building? Going in and desecrating a church building. Well, what do you think you are? Your body's a temple. It's a sacred place. And the way we treat this body, whether it's through lack of sleep or allowing us to constantly be subjected to stressful things. Our diet, all of those things contribute to how we're treating the temple of God. The voice version says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who comes from God and dwells inside of you? You do not own yourself. Do we have this? I mean, do we really get this? I don't think we do. I don't think most of the body of Christ has a revelation of stewardship when it comes to the physical body. And like I said, there's many, many good resources available today regarding food and diet, exercise, all those things, and its effect on the body. They're finding more and more connections between poor health and what people are eating. I would just encourage you, be a student in this area too. Read a book like The Daniel Plan. There's a really good book. It's a secular book, but it's one of the best books I've ever read called It Starts with Food. And it tells you all about how our bodies use food and the effects of different foods have on us. Again, it doesn't belong to me. It's his. So let's find out how to take better care of it. Amen. Another thing that can cause sickness is overextending ourselves. You know, just stress. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul's writing to the church there, and he's talking about Epaphroditus, and he's saying, you know, you all know he's sick. Epaphroditus has been sick. And verses 25 through 30, I'm not going to read the whole thing for sake of time, but in verse 30, it tells us something about why Epaphroditus was sick. It says, because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So, you know, work, poor diet, lack of exercise, poor sleeping habits, all of those things put your body, put you as a human being in a constant state of stress. And that's going to affect our health over time. Remember, all of these things are all, they all operate on the principle of seed time and harvest. We continue to do certain things, eat certain things that probably aren't really good for us, and over a process of time is when it starts bearing fruit. And so it says here that Epaphroditus did not regard his life. So he was sick because he did not regard his life. He overdid it. He was doing good things. He was serving God, yet he overextended himself. And so he was sick as a result of it. And Paul is identifying that here. I just wrote down a few facts about the issue of stress. 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects from stress. That's almost half of people that are affected in some way by stress. 75 to 90% of all doctor office visits are for stress-related ailments and complaints. Stress contributes to headaches, high blood pressure, heart problems, diabetes, skin conditions, asthma, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. And then most of the emotional orders are due to chronic untreated stress. Stress is just a huge factor in people's poor health. So there are things we can do. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. You know, why does God tell us to spend time in His Word meditating on the Word? Because it calms us. You can't get into the presence of God and spend time in His Word thinking on Him and communing with Him and not sense the peace of God that passes all understanding. See, God is so smart. We're not always so smart, but He is. Then there's bad habits, another thing that we give opportunity to the devil. Bad habits. You know, it just goes without saying that the use of certain things, such as tobacco, alcohol, and other controlled substances, will have a negative impact on us. I mean, even the world knows it. Have you ever noticed how when you go to a restaurant these days, man, they just come, the first thing they want to know is, what are you going to drink? And they assume you're going to drink. You know, my husband, I love his sense of humor sometimes. He always says, oh, we reached our limit 20-some years ago or 40 years ago or whatever. You know, they cut us off. You know, just to try to let him see that, you know what, don't assume that everybody drinks, that everybody consumes alcohol. And, you know, this isn't just limited to illegal substances either. You know, to pay attention to what's on TV, there's a lot of prescription drugs that cause poor health. There's not too many drugs out there that don't cause some kind of adverse side effects. So, you know, we have dominion. Not those things shouldn't have dominion over us. We should be having dominion over them. I heard a brother say this recently. I thought this was so good. He said, God gave us dominion over plants, right? But a lot of people are under the dominion of plants. Tobacco plants, hops and barley. You know, there's people always say, well, you know, they say red wine is really good for you. I, just read this one, blew me away. Do you know how many bottles of wine you'd have to drink in one day to get the benefit that red wine gives you? 80. So eat the grapes. Just eat the red grapes. You know who did that study? The study that told us how good resveratrol was for us? A wine company. They're the one who paid for that study. So there's some things that people do with their bodies that are making them sick over the long term. So, again, do what you want, but it's your health. Amen. And then, of course, we know that some of these types of vices can contribute to different long-term health effects like lung cancer and diabetes and high blood pressure and liver disease and all those wonderful things. Those are the fruits of some of the things we sow in our lives. So this is just really common sense stuff. Amen. But the law of sowing and reaping operates on every single plane in our lives. And if we don't care for ourselves spiritually, emotionally, and physically, we're going to reap the results. We're going to reap it. It may take time, and God is so good that there is that time issue in there. Most of the health issues people have can be reversed and without the use of prescription drugs. So sometimes it's just, like I said, this isn't just a spiritual issue. Sometimes it's spirit, soul, and body. Sometimes it's what we're putting in our mouths. Sometimes it's we're not sleeping enough. We're overdoing it. We're not resting enough. We're deficient in vitamins in some way. There's just certain things that contribute to poor health. So, and then of course the emotional side of things and making sure that we're established in spiritual truths as well. So the bottom line is, yes, God's healing power is able to overcome any of these things once they've become rooted in our bodies. But the thing is that when we are engaging in behaviors, when we're not being good stewards, our own hearts fight us when we're trying to receive. I've heard people many times come up for prayer regarding an issue in their body, and they say, out of their mouths, they'll say, "I did this to myself. It was my life choices, my personal choice," and it's very difficult for people to receive healing when their heart's beating them up like that. Can you receive? Yes, you can. God loves us so much that happens. But that's the risk we take so oftentimes is that there are things that make it difficult for us to receive. So these are things we have to take to heart. I'm not telling you, I'm not making any dietary laws here. I'm just saying go study it for yourself. Go look at it and study for don't we study if you're in a financial mess and you're sick and tired of it, just absolutely sick and tired of the way your financial life is. Wouldn't you go and apply yourself to learn what you could learn about how to handle money, how to budget, how to spend, how to invest? And you do everything you can to make sure, you know what, we need to look at our physical bodies the same way. We need to be willing to do some reading and some studying to learn some things. And then we need to be willing to say no. Just say no to some things that may be causing problems for us. So, amen.